We light the Christ candle to announce that Jesus is the light of the world. He came to seek and save the world.
We pour water into this basin to symbolize that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and minister to sinners. This also symbolizes baptism, which marks our decision to follow Christ in service and ministry.
Jesus calls out to us and to the lost. He invites us all to follow him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we enter into this time of worship, we thank you, Lord, for your greatness and for who you are. We thank you that you call each and every one of us to follow you, and we thank you that you reveal yourself to us each and every day. Would you prepare our hearts for worship this morning? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, everyone. I'm Judy, and I'm going to be your MC this morning. It's great to see you here. Welcome to the Canaan English Ministry service, worship service this morning. Today's scripture comes from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Today's message will be given by Pastor Chris, and the title is "Come and See."
Judy and praise band. Welcome to Canaan. We are always very glad that you guys are here worshiping with us every week. And so I'm glad you guys are here. I hope that you guys are enjoying the MLK weekend, especially I know a lot of you students are happy because you guys get an extra day off from school. But hopefully we will remember that it's not just about getting days off of school, but what he did, just the civil rights movement and just, you know, proclaiming freedom for all, you know, people. And I hope that we would, you know, keep that in mind. And as Christians as well, that we would continue to see those who are being oppressed and hurt, and you know that we would go and would love and just be the people that God has called us to be. Anyways, last week Pastor Tim preached on the topic of baptism, but he didn't just focus on baptism of water, but he talked about the other baptism, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the idea is that each one of us, when we accept Christ into our hearts, when we give our lives over to him, we have the Holy Spirit that's in us. And he is living in us. He's moving in us. And I think for me, the big kind of takeaway reminder for me was that, you know, again, each one of us, we're called to serve. And we're called to serve through the power of the Holy Spirit, that he is in us. And we need to go and do something with what God has given us. Right? And the Holy Spirit is in us. He's living in us. And we should live with power, and to go and serve with power as well. This morning, as we Judy read for us, we are in John chapter 1. Title of the message is "Come and See." But before we get into the message, let's go ahead and pray one more time, and then we'll get into this message. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again just for your great love for us. Just as the songs that we sang this morning, You are so great. You are the King above all kings, the name above all names, and you are the one who we come and worship and the one that we give our lives over to. And so we just pray that you would really help us to focus our attention on your words this morning, that it wouldn't be my words that it comes out, but yours, and that we would really, just be changed because of who you are and what you've done for us. And so, bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of my groomsmen, his name is Winford, and this is him. And Winford, I met Winford at EFC East Valley, which is the same church that I met May at. And the thing you have to know about Winford is he is big on working out and staying fit and exercising. He loves to work out every day, and likes to, eat right and be fit. And one of the things that he also really enjoys doing is biking. He loves to bike, and he has, multiple bikes for some reason, different types of bikes. But he loves to bike. And so I met him because he was working with the junior high ministry at East Valley, and I was helping out with the high school ministry. And so we got to spend a lot of time together. I got to know him better, and we became pretty good friends. I remember one time we were talking about biking, and he's like, "Hey, my roommate who also bikes, we're going to go biking. Would you like to come and bike with us?" And I'm like, "Oh, that sounds fun, but I don't have a bike." And he's like, "Well, I have extra bikes, right?" I don't know why he has extra bikes. I have extra bikes. It's like, okay, well, sure, right? So I went out and we biked. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. They took it easy on me. Didn't go too fast or too far. But we were like, "Hey, this is really good. We should do this more." And he's like, "Yeah, maybe we can get even more people, from church, to just go biking, after church on Sundays. Let's just go biking." And so so we talked to people. He talked to people. He was really excited. And, some people were kind of hesitant, like biking, I haven't done that since elementary school, Some people were kind of interested. Again, like, "I don't have bikes." He's like, "I have extra bikes," and his roommate had extra bikes. I don't know why they had so many bikes. But anyways, they're like, "Hey, just come out. I'm going to pack as many bikes as I can into my SUV this next Sunday, and just come out. If you want a bike, we're going to go biking." Right, and so few people did, and we started doing that, and it's kind of cool. We never got a huge group of people, but we had 6, and then 7, 8, up to 11 to 13. I think that was the most we got. And every week we'd have different people kind of come out, and we'd go biking. Some people came out multiple times. Some people only came out once. They're like, "Nope, that's enough biking for me." But it was kind of cool, and it all kind of happened organically. It happened because my friend, who was just so excited about bikes and biking, and he just got people to come out and be excited about biking. A lot of times people didn't know what to expect, and he's just like, "Hey, come and just ride with us, just go, we're going to ride." And so he did that, and it was a lot of fun. He also got a bunch of us guys to work out with him as well. And so for a couple months, that was the most fit I was ever since freshman year in college. It was really cool. Because he had this passion for something, right? And he got people to kind of get on board with it, just by inviting them out. And today, as we look at this passage, we see Jesus do something kind of similar. He's always a very personal and personable kind of a person. And he loves to just kind of engage people, right? We see Jesus' life, and that's just kind of how he lived. And he just kind of invited people to be a part of what he was doing. And that's what we're going to look at today. If you have your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 1. And we're actually going to start a little bit earlier. Okay, we're going to actually start in John 1, and I'm going to read verses 35 first. We're going to start in verse 35. It's going to be up here on the screen, but always good for you guys to pull it up on your own phones or on your actually open up your Bibles and follow along with me. I'm reading from the ESV version, but this is John chapter 1. Verse 35, and on. Here we go. "The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by, and he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, 'What are you seeking?' And he said to them, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and see, come and you will see.' So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, which is about 4 p.m. One of them, the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. All right, so let me kind of recap this again for you. Here, this is all the Lego brick. There's a whole website called Brick Testament, and they use little Lego pieces to do Bible stories. So anyways, so John is with his two disciples. He's standing there, and he sees Jesus walk by, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God," right? This is the guy who's going to come, and he's going to sacrifice his life for us. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior, right? And he's pointing again. John was doing his own ministry, but he's telling people, hey, that's the one. He's the guy that's going to save you. Not me, right? I'm just preparing the way. This is the man. Jesus is the guy. And so he points out Jesus, and two of his disciples, they heard that. And so they go, and they follow Jesus, kind of maybe a little bit nervous. They kind of walk behind him, you know, trying to maybe kind of get his attention, but not really. So Jesus notices them, right, turns around, and he says, so, what do you guys want? And they say, where are you at? You know, where are you staying at? Maybe we can go hang out sometime, you know, kind of a thing. And Jesus says, why don't you just come? Come and see where I'm at. And so they go with Jesus. It's about 4 p.m., and they stay with him that day, hang out with him. And the Bible doesn't really say what they did, but my guess is that, you know, Jesus did some teaching, probably some parables here and there. But I bet a big part of it was just loving people, right? Because that's just kind of what Jesus did. He just goes into the city, he sees people who are hurting, and then he would just go up to them and love them and care for them, heal people, probably did some things like that, right? Because that's what Jesus is all about. And so they just kind of spent this day with him, kind of watching Jesus do his ministry, do his life, hear the things that he says, interacts with people. And afterwards, one of the guys, Andrew, he goes, and he's really excited, right? So he goes to his brother, Simon, and he says, "Hey, yo, we found the Messiah, the guy that, you know, the Savior, we found him," right? And so Simon, very excited as well, goes with him, and he says, you know, Andrew says, "Come and see this guy," right? So they go, they meet Jesus, and when they do so, Jesus does something kind of interesting. He changes Simon's name. He says, "You're now no longer going to be called Simon. I dub thee Peter," right? And we see this happen a lot in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, where God changes people's names. And the idea for that is that you have this new identity. I'm giving you this new identity. You know, something special that I'm going to use in you, and I'm going to do something great through you. And just a quick kind of side note, each one of us, again, if you guys have accepted Christ into your hearts, you guys have a new identity that God has given you. And God has said, you know, you are now my sons and daughters. I'm giving you guys a new identity. I want to use you guys in a powerful way. And so keep that in mind. God does that. And I believe he can change, maybe not your real name, right? But he'll change your identity to become more like him, right? So that's what he does with Peter, okay? Continue on. And this is what Judy read for us this morning. But again, follow along with me. Verse 43 and on. The next day, Jesus decides to go to Galilee. He found Philip, and he said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses, the law, also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under a fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So again, the next day, Jesus decides to go, and he finds this other guy, his name is Philip, and he says, "Hey, Philip, I'm going to go to Galilee. Come and join me, you know, and again, just see what I'm going to do." And Philip's really excited as well. He's like, oh, cool. You know, this is the Messiah, the one who we have heard about. So he goes and he says, hey, I'm going to invite my friend. Right? So he goes to Nathanael and he says, hey, Nathanael, you won't believe it. We found him. Right? The guy, the Messiah, the one who the Old Testament, the prophets, the law of Moses, these things that they have wrote about, right? We found him. He's here with us. Right? And Nathanael, he was a little bit more skeptic than Peter and Simon and Andrew and Philip, right? And he's kind of like, what? Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth, right? And because Nazareth is a very small town, kind of not very much populated, not a lot of people. And so it's kind of saying like, oh, the next president is going to come out of Alviso, this city here, right? Like, Alviso? Where's that, you know? Or like some little city in like Iowa or something. You're like, ooh. You know, like, no one knows that city. Can anything good come out of that, right? And so Nathanael's kind of thinking that. And Philip says, well, come and see. Yeah, come and see this guy. And so he goes with him, and Jesus does something kind of cool. Jesus says, hey, I already know who you are, Nathanael. Even before you knew me, I already knew you. And he says, I already saw you under the fig tree, even though he wasn't there. And so Nathanael's like, wow, this guy is, something is different about him. You know, he experiences something cool, and he says, you must be the one that, you know, everyone has talked about. You are the Messiah, you are the Christ, you are the Lord. And Jesus says something kind of cool as well. He says, you know, just because I did this small little thing, right, I proved to you that, you know, I am different, right, by knowing who you are even before I actually met you. You're going to see something, you know, so much greater, right? You have seen nothing yet. Pretty much, right? You're going to see a lot of more cool things. If you follow me, if you come and be my disciple, you're going to experience so much more. You know, I'm going to show you so much more amazing things. And again, quick side note, in the same way for each one of us as believers, hopefully that's encouragement to you too, that, hey, if you follow after Jesus, he's going to show you something great. He's going to show you something really amazing. Okay? And so this is the passage that we have today. And there are three things that I want us to kind of see. And these three things, I'm going to look at two kind of different perspectives of how can we be a better minister and how can we have a better ministry here at Canaan. And the three words, I've broken it down to three words for you guys to remember. Hopefully it's easy to remember. It is invest, invite, and impact. Okay? Invest, invite, impact. And let me go ahead and break this down a little bit more. And again, each of these three things I think we can do to become better ministers and to have a better ministry. Okay? And so the first thing that I hope that we can do is that we would invest in people. Okay? Invest in relationships. Invest in the people around us. Again, we look at Jesus and kind of what he did. He invited people into his life, and he just kind of lived it out, and he invested, you know, just in people, right? When Andrew and, you know, the other disciple, you know, went to Jesus and said, hey, you know, where are you staying? He's just like, hey, just come and be a part of my life. You know, come and just check out what I'm doing. And you will get to learn a lot of things just from me. Right, so come and just invest in people, right? And that's the kind of time that Jesus did. He spent time with people. And we look at that, I hope that for us, in the same way that we would be able to just spend time with people. And this goes in ministry, right? We need to be able to really work well with one another, okay? We need to be able to love one another, to encourage one another, challenge one another, to grow in our ministries. And we do this together. One of the building blocks, right, of our EM 2.0 is that ministry is all about people. And I really believe that. I really believe that it's about us, you know, engaging people and doing it together with one another. How can we be able to minister to people if we don't know them, right? If we don't spend time with them, if we don't know their hurts and their needs, then, you know, how can we actually love them and care for them? And I know that, you know, we're all very busy. Pastor Tim, again, last week, you know, talked about the dice and how all our sides of our dice are full with relationships. And it's true. I know we're all very busy. We have a lot on our plates. But it's important for us, again, to spend time and invest in people, right? So picture people. This is all what it's all about, right? Being involved with people in people's life, opening yourselves up to other people, people who aren't Christian yet, people who you kind of want to, you know, get bring them to church. You need to invest time and energy in their lives so that they can kind of know you. You have to be kind of vulnerable. You kind of have to open up a little bit so that they can see some of the things that you're going through and so that you can share with them, hey, this is what God is doing in my life, and this is my encouragement. Hey, come and see what, you know, God is doing here. You know, for myself, one of the things I struggle as a pastor is doing home visitations. My dad is a pastor, and him and my mom, they always told me, ever since I started doing ministry, hey, you need to do home visitations. It's really good for you to be able to go and just connect, you know, with the people of our congregation. And the other pastors that I kind of worked under, they've always kind of emphasized this too. And I think as in the Asian church, this is a really big thing. Like, yeah, you know, you need to be able to go and meet people, meet your congregation members. And I always drag my feet on this. I don't really like setting up, you know, times to meet up with people. I'm always afraid that I'm going to go and I'm going to be like really awkward just with the parents of the kids, you know, and just like, what am I going to talk about with them? And it's going to be really weird, you know. And so I've always kind of been hesitant to go and do this. But a couple, you know, last year, 2 years ago, I started trying to be more intentional about doing this, just to go and meet families. And it's been really good. You know, I saw the benefit of that, getting to know the parents better. It's a different setting, too, to go to the people's homes and kind of see them at home instead of at church. I get to see the kids' rooms and, you know, and just kind of get to know them a little bit better in that way. And I saw the benefit of just investing in people. You know, the parents trust me a little bit more, you know, kind of engage them. We have a little bit of a deeper relationship because of those times spent together. And I think that's what, you know, we should do. All of us is to kind of, hey, let me invest a little bit more of my time in you guys, in the people next to us, and also, again, outside of the Canaan context, just with people to invest in their lives so that we get to know them, that they can get to know us, so that we can build together. Okay? So the first thing, again, first thing simply is invest. Okay? Invest your time, invest your energy, invest some of this into people. Because ministry is about people. Ministry is about building up people, one another. Okay? Now the thing is, we go from this, invest, into our second point, which is to invite. Once we have built up the relationship that we have with people, then we can be able to actually invite them to certain things, right? Then they will actually have some trust in what we do, right? Again, in the same way when I started investing in these families, right? Now when I tell them, hey, you know, we have Friday night fellowship and hey, you know, it'd be great for your kid to come out, then they're more willing to kind of be, oh, okay, you know, I trust you now a little bit more. I'm going to send my kid to you, to this ministry. And we see that it takes time building that relationship, and then we need to get to this point where we're bold enough to say, all right, you know what, I'm going to invite you out. And I know a lot of times it's kind of scary to invite people out to things. We fear rejection. We fear that, you know, people will just say no. But a really simple thing, and this is what Jesus did, and the title of the message is, he said, come and see. When Andrew, the disciple, they went to Jesus, and they said, where are you staying? You know, he didn't answer their question right away, which is kind of interesting. Jesus does that often, right? And he just said, hey, just come and see. Just check this out. Right, and the same thing when Philip was talking to Nathanael. Nathanael asked him, what good can come out of Nazareth? Philip didn't have a good answer. He didn't know. He's like, I don't know, but I know what I know. I met this guy. Just come and just check this guy out. Right, just come and see. And I think that's what we need to do, is have this mindset of being willing just to invite people along. So one, for ministry, how can we have a better ministry here at Canaan is for us to start just inviting people out to stuff. And do things that you are passionate about, things that you're excited about. Like my friend Winford, who is excited about biking, right? And he just started it because he was excited about it and got people to get on board. The same way, you know, I think All of us have different things that we're excited and passionate about. You know, try to get some people together around and say, hey, let's do this together. This will be a lot of fun. Maybe it's hiking, or maybe it's doing this or that. I don't know, whatever it is. And just inviting people out. So the other side of it is being effective ministers, right? And we need to be effective in inviting people who are not Christian as well, right, into our church community. And a lot of times, I think it is all about that one invitation. I've heard many, many stories before of how it's just, someone inviting their friend out to their Bible study, out to their college campus fellowship, right, out to certain things, events. And because of that invitation, again and again and again, then they slowly come out. They slowly come to know who Christ is. Just a quick, poll. Who here had that kind of happen to you, where it was somebody who invited you out to a church function, event, small group, discipleship, and it was because of that that you came to know Christ? Do we have people in here who's kind of like that? Yeah, we have a few, a good amount, right? And I think that's a really common thing where, it's just one invitation, right? And it's just up to us to invite people out and to have them have that opportunity to get to know something about God. We don't have to convert them, right? It's not all about that. We can't force them to become Christians, right? They have to make that decision on their own. But it's just about inviting them out. And again, doing it, persisting in inviting them out, even if they reject you once, twice, three times, four times, right? But to keep kind of doing that, inviting them out to these things. So bring a friend, right? Next week we have our testimony night, or day, Sunday, testimony Sunday. Invite them out to that, right? Next Saturday we have a family movie night, and invite your friends to that movie night who have kids. And just bring a friend, invite a friend, right? Once you have built that relationship with them, be bold, go and invite them. Okay? So again, number two, invite. Invite somebody up. Okay? So invest, invite. And the last thing that I want for us to see is that we need to make an impact. And the question, I'm going to flip it a little bit and make this more of a question and a challenge for us at Canaan and as people, as believers, is, are we making an impact when people come to church? Okay? Right, that's what the whole point is. We spend time with people, we're investing in their lives, and maybe eventually we finally have enough courage to go and ask someone, all right, finally, can you come to church? And they say yes, right? And they come to church, and the question is, when they do come, are they impacted by God when they come into these rooms, right? And that's really a challenge for us as a church and as Christians. And are we doing our part, right? When they come through these doors, do they experience God through the welcoming love that we have for them? Are they feel cared for? Are they, are they hearing God's word? Are they hearing the truth coming from the, preaching from the pulpit? Are they experiencing, do they see God here when they come through these doors? And I hope that this is a challenge for each one of us, that, hey, are we doing our part, right? We finally invite friends out. People are finally coming out. Newcomers are coming out. Are we doing our part to make sure that they continue to stay and they continue to experience God here at Canaan? And so when they come, hopefully, they are getting this impact. We are making an impact in their lives, and that they would experience God, they would, become Christians, and they will continue to serve, and they'll go and they'll tell other people, right, and they'll do that. That is why our theme, I think, for this year is EM 2.0. And the focus of it is, again, how can we make our ministry here at Canaan, this English ministry, more vibrant, more exciting, and a place where when people come in, that they are impacted by God. And so the reminder again for each one of us is that, all of you guys are called to be ministers, right? As believers in Christ, it's not just up to the pastors, it's up to each one of us, every single one of us, to do our part in kind of build up this ministry, and also in welcoming and inviting, and again doing this part, serving. We're all in this together. Every ministry is about people, right? It's about investing our lives in other people's lives. To do this together, we're not supposed to do this on our own. well, we're doing this together to go deeper. Hopefully, we're not just, you know, just staying as just head knowledge and just knowing stuff, but we're going deeper in our faith. We're actually living it out. That's what it means to go to more than just spiritual milk. And then also just, hey, it's not just about Taiwanese people, right? The gospel message is for the world. And no matter what background people come in, no matter what ethnicity, when they come through these doors, will they, you know, experience God? And will they feel welcome again? Will they feel that, hey, this is a church that they can serve in and be a part of? And hopefully that we can have that. Right? That's the challenge for us. That's what we want. And I think that's what it means for inviting people in and for them to be impacted by God. Okay? So again, the third thing is that there's an impact, that we make an impact in Christ. Right, that when people come in here, that they will feel that impact. So again, just a quick reminder. Again, I said this earlier, but next week we do have a testimony Sunday. And first, if you have any, again, testimonies of what God is doing in your life, either in the past or recently right now, do talk to Pastor Tim. Maybe we can, you know, have you share something of what you're doing. But next Sunday would be a good opportunity, again, just to invite somebody to come to church and be like, hey, you know, come and see what God is doing in these other people, you know, in my friends' lives, other members of this church, you know, or in my life, if you have a testimony to share, right? Come and just invite people to these things. We have a lot of different events, a lot of small groups, right? Invite people to your small groups, to your fellowship groups. Invite people out, again, on Saturday to the movie night. Invite people to come out on Sundays. Do something together and invite people out. Right, invest in people, invite them, and hopefully, that we would make an impact together. Okay, so a really simple message. Okay, 3 points: invest in people, invite them out, and hopefully we make an impact in their lives. All right, simple enough, but this is a challenge for us, and I hope that we would be able to do that. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again just for your love for us. We thank you that you have called each one of us to be ministers of your word, of who you are, of being your disciple. And we pray that we would really go and just be among people, that we really love people, that we'd get to know people, that they'd get to know us, build that trust, and that we can be able to invite them out to church, that we can be able to have them just kind of have that opening for them to come in and be a part of what we're doing here. And I pray that, yeah, we here at Canaan, that we would really be a ministry where we are making impacts in people's lives, and that's so that we can go and make an impact in the world around us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just use us, and that you'd grow us in our faith, and that we would be, yeah, just effective ministers and have an effective ministry here. Thank you again. We love you. In Jesus' name, pray. Yeah.